You know, I will forever picture Moses as portrayed by Charlton Heston in the 1956 blockbuster movie, The Ten Commandments. I mean, look at him there. He's tall. He's handsome. He's got great hair. I mean, he had a voice that commanded respect. And everything you expect or think of Moses is sort of wrapped up in that image, at least to me. And yet there's a lot of things about Moses that don't kind of fit that image. For instance, in Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, it says that the man Moses was very meek, more than all the people who were on the face of the earth. The Bible actually says that Moses was the meekest man on the earth. That doesn't really fit this image too well, and yet it was part of who Moses truly was. And what's more, according to our text this morning, Moses was one of the greatest examples of faith in the Old Testament. Now, if you've been with us for the last couple of months, you know we've been going through a series on Hebrews chapter 11, which contains the great Hall of Fame of Faith from the Old Testament. And to give you a little background for what we've been looking at, we just need to reread the first three verses. Go to the next slide, please, James, of Hebrews 11. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the people of old received their commendation. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. And from here, the writer of Hebrews goes on to list a number of individuals from the Old Testament who exemplify this definition of faith. Now, last week we looked at the last of the patriarchs of Israel, Joseph. And this week we turn our attention to Moses, who was a leader of faith. And our text this morning is Hebrews 11, 23 through 28. Let's read these verses. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was growing up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. Now from this passage in Hebrews 11 that deals with the faith of Moses, we're going to see four demonstrations of faith by Moses. And the first demonstration of faith, it was by his parents. Faith was the reason Moses' parents actually defied the law of the land. And we see that in verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Now, this is interesting because the faith mentioned here is not Moses's himself, but of his parents. And the reference, this references the events that took place in Exodus chapters 1 and 2. If we look at Exodus 1:22, then Pharaoh commanded all his people, every son that is born to the Hebrews, you shall cast into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live. Now, just to give you a little background, this took place 370 years after the death of Joseph. And as God continued to bless the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as they resided in the land of Egypt, they prospered in both possessions and numbers, and eventually a Pharaoh came into power who didn't remember or know anything about Joseph. And he came to view this growing group of foreigners as a threat to himself. And his first strategy to sort of weaken the people of Israel was to oppress them with labors. And he forced them into laboring for him. And the problem for him was that this only served to increase their strength and their numbers. They became stronger. The next thing he did when that didn't work is he instructed the Hebrew midwives who assisted with all the births to actually kill any male child who was born. But the Hebrew midwives defied the edict of Pharaoh and made the excuse that the Israeli women were so strong that they gave birth before they even called the midwives. Well, this is strike two for Pharaoh, and so he goes to the third strike, which is Exodus 1:22, and here he commands all of his people that if they see any male babies born, they are to toss them into the Nile. And we see what happened in the following verses, that this provides the setting for Moses' parents when he is born. Picking it up in Exodus 2:1, "Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and daubed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank." Now we're told here in the first two verses of Exodus 2 that both of Moses' parents were from the tribe of Levi. A few chapters later in Exodus 6:20, we're told that the father's name was Amram and his mother's name was Jochebed. And previous to Moses, this couple had given birth to two children, first to Aaron and then to a daughter, Miriam. And, of course, these children were born prior to any of these edicts of Pharaoh. But they were older than Moses, and they had these as their children when Moses was born. Now, notice that it says nothing about the faith of the parents in Exodus 2. In fact, verse 2 seems to indicate that they wanted to preserve Moses' life because he was a beautiful baby. And yet, the writer of Hebrews, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, clarifies for us what the Exodus account leaves out, namely that faith was behind this act. Looking back at our Hebrews 11 passage, "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents." It's clear that their motivation for hiding Moses had to do with faith. And their faith had to be placed in God alone, because God hadn't spoken to them about this child. He hadn't promised them anything about this child. He hadn't said, "You need to save this child because he's going to be the deliverer of his people." Nothing like that. They just had a faith in God. And they had been promised nothing by God concerning him. And so this led them to do the right thing, albeit something that, as Nick pointed out earlier, was civil disobedience. An unlawful act. They saved their son. And I think one of the points here is for parents never to underestimate the exercising of faith in the raising of their children. We don't know what our children will become. We don't know how God might use them. You never know when, because of the faith of parents, God chooses to use one of their children in a sort of a Moses-like way in God's plan. And we always need to have faith in God when we're raising our children. We have five children. People have often asked us over the years, what was your secret to parenting? And, you know, we've always said faith. Because it wasn't like we felt like we had the greatest parenting skills. But we put our trust in God and in our children's future to God. And so that's the first thing we see, is that faith was demonstrated by his parents. Now, the second demonstration we see here is that faith was demonstrated by Moses in choosing God. Having grown up in the palace of Pharaoh, Moses came to a crisis of his identity as a young man. And we see this in Hebrews 11, 24 through 26. By faith, Moses, when he was growing up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Now here there's a time lapse of some 40 years between verse 23 and verse 24. We say that Moses was a young man. He was culturally at the time, but he was 40 years old when this took place. And here we see Moses choosing to identify with the people of God. And this identification began with a negative choice. It says here that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. This was a negative choice that he made. And up to this point, Moses had been known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. She had adopted him. He had grown up in her court. And this is kind of the modern equivalent of being the Duke of Windsor. Anyone of this kind of designation would have been subject to immense prestige, power, and wealth in Egypt. And in adulthood, Moses decided to turn his back on all of this, which inflicted a grievous insult upon Pharaoh. It's hard to minimize what an insult this would have been to Pharaoh himself. And faith is definitely courageous. Now, this negative choice was followed by a positive choice. Verse 25, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Moses recognized that it would be a sin for him to remain as part of the Egyptian system. And the choice was culminated in the act recorded in Exodus chapter 2. Flip ahead, Jimmy. When the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses because she said, I drew him out of the water. One day, this is back 40 years later, when Moses had grown up, he went out to his people and looked on their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his people. You see, Moses knew that he was of Hebrew origin. He looked this way and that, and seeing no one, he struck down the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Now, faith is always lived out in practical ways. And for Moses, this identification with his people led him to this act of taking the life of an Egyptian taskmaster. Now, that's not to say that this was a righteous act that he did, because it wasn't. But it was born out of his desire to identify with his people, which was akin to choosing God. And once he did this, There was no turning back for him. And this set into motion events that would ultimately bring him back to Egypt to be the deliverer of his people. And once again, the writer of Hebrew informs us that it was faith that led him to this. Back in Hebrews 11, go ahead, Jimmy. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up. So the writer of Hebrews again tells us that this was faith that motivated him. Now, verse 26 is very insightful in understanding how faith was lived out in Old Testament times. When Moses identified with Israel, he was aligning himself with the people of God, whom the Messiah had been identified with since their inception. And so when Moses identified with the disgrace of the messianic people, it was an identification with Christ. He endured disgrace for the sake of Christ, as the writer of Hebrews points out here. The faith that comes in because Moses was looking toward a future reward. Again, the last part of verse 26, for he was looking to the reward. That's, by definition of Hebrews 11:1, part of what faith is all about. It falls under that description. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Now, personally, I think one of the weaknesses in the Christian evangelical church in America, of which we are a part of, is the misguided idea that you can have God and still have the best this world has to offer. Jesus addressed this in Matthew 6:24 when he said, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other." Earlier than Jesus and later than Moses, Joshua stated it this way, as Israel was poised to occupy the promised land. In Joshua 24:15, he says, "Choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And this is exactly the choice that Moses made. He knew he couldn't continue to be in the royal court of Egypt and serve God. It couldn't be done. And he made the choice to turn his back on Egypt and commit himself to God and his people. And he understood that the latter was required by the former. So we see here that faith was demonstrated by Moses choosing God. Now the third thing that we see is that faith was demonstrated by Moses leaving Egypt in verse 27. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now it's interesting because there are a number of commentators on Hebrews that believe that this is referring to when he left Egypt for Midian, where he lived for 40 years prior to meeting God on the mountain, the passage that Mike read earlier. However, the narrative in Exodus 2 doesn't really line up with that. As we look back in Exodus 2, starting with verse 14, and he answered, and this is a Hebrew that witnessed the killing of this Egyptian, "Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and thought, "Surely the thing is known." When Pharaoh heard of it, he sought to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and stayed in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Doesn't sound too much like a guy who wasn't afraid of Pharaoh and so left. It's clear that Moses, when he heard that Pharaoh wanted to end his life, got out of Dodge as quickly as he could. It does not seem that faith was the driving factor of him leaving Egypt. It's better to understand what's being said in Hebrews 11:27 by looking at one of his final intercourses between himself and Pharaoh. In Exodus 10:27, this is during the ninth plague, just before the ninth plague is about to be enacted. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. Then Pharaoh said to him, "Get away from me. Take care never to see my face again. And on the day you see my face, you shall die." And Moses said, "As you say, I will not see your face again." Now this is the end of an exchange between Moses and Pharaoh where they're negotiating. And Moses is demanding that all the people, when Pharaoh lets them go, and take all their wealth and all their flocks and all their possessions. Pharaoh, if he's going to let them go, wants them to leave all their good stuff there. And this is when Moses stands up to him. And he stands tall in not accepting Pharaoh's negotiation. And shortly after this, Moses will lead God's people from Egypt toward the promised land. And so we see back here, by faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. All this is a tremendous expression of faith-based courage. And rather than having his faith weakened in the face of adversity from the most powerful man on the earth at the time, Moses' faith hardened into a steely resolve as seeing him who is invisible. He lived his life and made his decisions based as if seeing him who is invisible. And God had promised to deliver Israel from the hand of Pharaoh, and Moses operated under the belief that God would do just that. And the paradoxical phrase here at the end is seeing him who is invisible. Does not mean that Moses saw him with the naked eye. Faith's eye sees what the physical eye cannot see. And it always have. And I believe that what's being said here of Moses, which is almost verbatim what the author of Hebrews 11:1 is saying, is meant to be normative for the Christian life. I don't believe this is meant to be an extraordinary thing. In fact, if you don't see what is unseen, if you can't ever see him who is invisible and live your life based on that, because the fact is, none of us have seen God. Christianity is supernatural. It's not to be lived strictly on a natural plane. It's to be lived on a supernatural plane. You know, I think back to Elijah's prayer in 2 Kings 6:17, and I believe it's just as relevant today for the church as it was when he prayed it over his anxious, worried servant. Listen to these words. "O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see." So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw it. And he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And we need to ask God to open up our eyes. We might not see chariots of fire, but if we see him who is invisible, it will change how we live our lives. And so this is the third demonstration of faith by Moses, that he demonstrated his faith by leaving Egypt. And then finally, the fourth demonstration of faith was that Moses instituting the Passover. More than just observing the Passover, Moses was instrumental in establishing its annual observance by Israel. In verse 28, By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. In the construction of the Greek, the words he kept are in the perfect tense, which really has the idea that he started it or he instituted the Passover. Moses actually instituted the Passover as a lasting ordinance to be done year after year, which means that Moses never doubted once the fact that Israel would leave Egypt for the promised land. And we see that in Exodus chapter 12, verse 24. You shall observe, this is Moses speaking, you shall observe this rite as a statute for you and your sons forever. And when you come to the land that the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? You shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, for he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck down the Egyptians, but spared our houses. As we can see, beyond just introducing the Passover, Moses set it up as something to be annually and continually observed. Not just a one-time deal for the 10th plague, but an ongoing institution for Israel. And to this day, practicing Jews observe the Passover every year. As a quick sidebar, just to let you know, about 10 days before Easter this year, we've got a representative from Jews for Jesus coming, and he's going to lead us in an actual Passover Seder. We're going to have all the food and everything, and he's going to explain all the symbolism of each piece of food and the way they conduct the Passover and how that relates to Christ. It's really neat. Joyce and I have been through this a couple of times in the past, and it's something you won't want to miss out on. But we're told back in Hebrews 11:28 that it was by faith he kept and instituted the Passover by the sprinkling sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. The last of the 10 plagues that secured Israel's exodus from Egypt was the destruction of all the firstborn males, both human and animals. But God provided a way of salvation for his people. And they were directed to take an unblemished lamb and slaughter that lamb and take a hyssop branch, dip it in the blood of that lamb, and to daub it on top and on the sides of the doorposts of their homes. And the homes that were anointed this way with the blood of the unblemished lamb would be under God's protection when the destroyer or the angel of death passed over and would not be permitted to enter their homes. And this was all done, according to our text, by faith. Now, Moses did not invent the Passover. God did. God gave him the instructions. Moses followed his instructions to a T. And this is what faith is all about. Hearing the instructions of God and following them to a T. Now, we can only do it with his help. That's why he's provided the Holy Spirit to us. But that's what faith is all about. Following the instructions of God. You know, he hasn't left us just up to our own devices. His word is full of promises. It's full of commands. It's full of principles, all kinds of things that we are to learn and to follow. And that's what Moses demonstrated. Well, we come to the time in our celebration each week to kind of bring this all together and really see what God is saying to us. We call it discern and obey, to discern what is God saying to me this morning from his word. And then to purpose with God's help to obey what he's saying to you. And so we want to have you ask God, what are your personal takeaways today? And to ask God to help you to follow through with those. So let's just take a moment and allow God to deal with our hearts. Father, we have much to learn from the faith of Moses. And Lord, he wasn't a perfect man. None of the individuals in Hebrews 11 are. But Lord, he was an example of faith to us. And I pray that you would speak to each of our hearts right now and give us at least one thing from your word that you're saying to us. And Lord, help us to not just walk away from here forgetting what you've said to us, but purposing to allow your Holy Spirit to work it through in our lives. For we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.